Hello, this is Pastor Elijah Wells of the Wells of Living Water Ministry. Welcome to our podcast, which is a place to satisfy your thirst for the living word of God. Listen in and be blessed.
This message is coming from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. And the Lord led me to preach a message on that because we need to know how to deal with our past. See, if you don't understand and know how to deal with your past, it's hard to move on into your todays, into your tomorrows. We got to understand how to overcome our past, because many times, even when we become saved and born again, and we run into friends that we haven't seen in a long time, people that know us or people that knew us when we were coming up, and it's hard for them to forget all of those old things about us. And we have to remind them that we are new creatures in Christ. I am not that person that I used to be. Because what does the Bible say? Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, we're in Christ now. And so now the Bible says, since we're in Christ, he is not going to be. It's not something we're going to be. It's something that's true right now, that we are new creatures. Somebody say new creatures. We are new creatures in Christ. So there, what happened then? All things. Somebody say all things. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. They're gone. They're behind us. At this point, amen, of which we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, we are new creatures now, a new creation in Christ. We have a new spiritual life now. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. They're behind me. They're behind us. Amen. We can view them in our rearview mirror. They're behind us. Hallelujah. Don't let people bring up our past and cause us to try to go back to yesterday. Yesterday's sin is gone. I'm a new man now. I say I'm a new man, a new woman in Christ. All things are passed away. Take a look now. That's what it means. Behold. Take a look now. Look now. All things are new. Touch your name and say all things are new. Notice that word, old, new. Old things passed away. They're behind us. See, because sometimes the devil, amen, he wants to try to keep us in yesterday. In the past, you know, that past thing. But we are new creatures now. Am I right about it, brother? Am I right about it, sister? That's something that too the enemy tried to use as our past. I've overcome my past. I'm a new man now. Hallelujah. The things that I used to say, I don't say no more. Things that I used to do. Notice it's past tense. Used to. How many people come into the church and give the preacher their hand? They write their name on the roll? Well, what is repentance? What is repentance? I'm traveling this way. I hear the good news of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost touched me. Can I get a witness? I think all of us in here got a testimony to tell. Amen. You know how it was when the Holy Spirit touched you. You know God was speaking to you. You heard his voice. It was no question about God. And he said, repent. And that, you know, repentance, amen, is a very serious word. Because too many people want to come into the church. They want to give the preacher their hand. They want to write their name on the roll. But they don't want to repent. The preaching of the gospel and the acceptance of the good news require something of us. And that requirement is this. I'm traveling down this road of destruction. I'm headed. What? For destruction. But I heard the good news of the gospel. And I responded. What was our response? I'm going this way. We hear the good news. We stop. We turn around. See, because before, we knew the Lord, we were traveling away from God. Amen. The longer a person takes, the further they travel away from the Lord. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us. We were children of disobedience before we became born again and knew the Lord. We were walking away from him. And he called us out by name. And we heard his voice and we stopped. And what did we respond to? And we turned around and we start traveling now. Now, notice now, I'm going this way now. Everything that was in my past is behind me. I'm now walking and traveling and getting closer to the Lord. But this is what some folk want to do. Amen. They're traveling down the road of destruction. They hear a voice, they stop. They ponder on this thing about what's required of them now, because it's going to take a change. It's going to require change. So what happens is they stop, they hear the voice, they do this, and rather than going here, what do? And they continue down the same road. God wants us to do what? To repent. Somebody say repent. Repent. All things is behind us. So why does our past have such an impact on our lives? Why does it have such an influence on where we are and where we're going? We must understand the effects of our past so that it does not continue to rob us of our future. We must understand the effects of our past so that it does not continue to block our progress towards our destiny. We must overcome our past so that we can enjoy our present and our future. Everyone has a past. Touch your neighbor, everyone got a past.
Now, if the truth be told.
I said, if the truth be told. We all have a past. Can I get a witness? We all was not saved when we came out of our mother's womb. Amen, saints. We all have a past. If the truth be told. Come on, somebody say amen. I said, if the truth be told, we all have a past, which is why the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is an exception. No, sometimes, amen, we must not forget the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have things in our past that needs to be conquered and brought under subjection of the truth of God's word. When we become born again, we have access, touch the neighbor and say access, to some very wonderful benefits that we did not have access to before we became saved. Now that we are saved, we have access to a new way of living. Touch the neighbor and say a new way of living. We have access to the ability to overcome our past and its destructive effects on our lives. Our past, my brothers and sisters, sometimes can be double-edged. Somebody say double-edged. While one edge can be the side by which those who knew us then, somebody say then, use as a deceptive tool in their refusal to repent of their sins in attempts of continuing in the ways of the past. And the other becomes a very powerful tool, a witness of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us and to change our old way of living. Salvation, my brothers and sisters, is transformative. Amen. There is no salvation apart from repentance. And if we are going to walk with God, we must repent of our past sins and move forward. Touch your neighbor and move forward in a new and living way. When God birthed the church in the New Testament, it was met with opposition, not unlike what we experience today. Christians were thrown out of the city and stoned to death. And they laid their clothes at the feet of one named Saul. This man had a reputation for opposing the church and killing the believers. And yet, despite his notorious past, God called him. Somebody say, God called him. And if God can call, amen, an instigator like Saul, touch your neighbor and say, an instigator like Saul. And if God can touch a trickster like Jacob, and if he can call a strong-headed man like Moses, who out of good intentions in his own eyes thought that he could get away with killing an Egyptian man who mistreated his Hebrew brother. Moses was a man with a past. But the Bible says that he slew the Egyptian and hid his body
in the sand. And yet, our past has a way of resurfacing. For just 2 days later, Moses' past came up. Moses saw two Hebrew men fighting. And when he tried to break them up, they asked Moses, "Who appointed you to be ruler and judge over us?" They said, "Who appointed you over us? Will you kill us like you killed the Egyptian?" You see, Moses, if you look at the story, the Bible said Moses looked to the left and Moses looked to the right. And when he didn't see nobody else around him, he went ahead and slew that Egyptian. He thought nobody else saw. You know, hallelujah. If the truth be told, we've done some things. Amen. Don't let me go back to your childhood. Amen. We've done some things we didn't want mama to know. Come on, we all got a past. Cover, you know, the big cover up. You see, you don't even have to teach a kid how to cover things up. Amen. And just when Moses thought everything was all right, he was going to cover up his sin. So he was going to hide his body in the sand. Now Moses was going on his way, and he came upon two, amen, Hebrew brothers that was fighting, and he wanted, amen, to be an intermediary. Nothing wrong with that. But the problem was, watch it now. Watch what I'm getting ready to say now, because that's the reason why we got to deal with our past. Because what will happen when you begin to minister for the Lord, the enemy will use our past to try to bring it up. Moses was trying to do good. He saw his brothers being mistreated, and he went to help them out. They say, "Moses, who made you ruler? We know your past. We saw you when you thought nobody else saw you, but we saw you. And are you going to kill us too?" We all got a past. Before we look at others, we got to recognize that we got a past too. Somebody shout and say amen. Isn't it funny how just when you think that nobody knows those things that you have done and what you think was covered up in secrecy, God has a way of bringing it up so that you can repent of those things and to move forward. Somebody say move forward. We must deal with our past so that, amen, it does not become a hindrance to our witness. If we repent, then God can do something about our past. He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody say all unrighteousness. And if God can call a fly off the handle, man like Peter, you know Peter, right? Who, when the Roman soldiers and the temple guard sent by the priest came to arrest Jesus, Peter drew his sword and cut off Malchus' ear. You say, "Hold on a minute, Peter. I know you got a temper." Huh? He said, "Put your sword up. They that live by the sword will die by the sword." So what did Jesus do? He is the best example that we can look at. Amen. He turned around and touched the very one that came to arrest him, to take him to the cross, to crucify him. So if God can call somebody like that, if he can call a doubter like Thomas and a self-righteous man like Nathaniel, who had the audacity to ask, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" How many folk of your past may be asking the question, "Can anything good come out of Pacoima? Can anything good come out of Lakeview Terrace? Can anything good come out of South Central?" The truth of the matter is, a whole lot of good can come out of these places. So we must not allow folk to destroy our destiny even before we get started, simply by looking at the past. I think I got a witness in this place, but let me just talk about it just a little bit more. If God called a murderer and a conniver like David, somebody say David. Like David, who placed a committed soldier, Uriah, on the front line so that he can be killed, so that David can have Uriah's wife. That's the reason why I thank God for the Bible, because it doesn't cover up anything. I know some people don't believe the Bible is true, but if you study it and you see all these truths, amen, it wasn't covered up. God didn't cover anything up. We all have sin. We all have a past. But yet God still loved us and God still called us. And if God can call a murderer and a conniver like David, who put Uriah on the front line that he might marry his wife Bathsheba, and yet God called him the apple of his eye. If God can call a hot-tempered man like James and a strong-willed man like John, and if God can call a man of renowned past like Paul, who was the leader of those who persecuted the church and scattered the saints abroad, the Bible in Acts 8th chapter and the 3rd verse says that Paul, Saul at the time, Bible said he wreaked havoc. Somebody say wreak havoc. He wreaked havoc in the church. If you just mention the name Saul, people began to scatter. And even he, the Bible says, he entered the homes of those who were believers, arresting them and taking them to prison. But God got Saul's attention one day. For in Acts the 9th chapter and the 3rd verse, the Bible said, a light shined down from heaven. And God spoke with a voice and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting? Not the church. But he said, why are you persecuting me? Huh? Paul had a past. Listen, God is not intimidated by our past. He can take a murderer. He can take a trickster. He can take a conniver and a manipulator and touch their heart. Come on, somebody say amen. So who are we? Who are we? Who are we? Mm-hmm. He said it's hard to kick against a prick. God saved him, but his past would resurface as he served the Lord in ministry. When God called a certain disciple from Damascus to help Paul, this is what he said in Acts 9 and 13. Lord, I've heard by many about this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. But God healed his past and told Ananias, go and minister to him, for God have made a destiny for him. Isn't it ironic how God will take our past and use it for his glory? Can I get a witness? So we all have something in our past that we would like to forget, but we must not allow our past to block our destiny. We must not allow the things that are a part of our past determine our future. Listen, listen. Your past is not your destiny. Your past is not your identity. Your past is not your direction. For the Bible says in Philippians the 3rd chapter, not that I have obtained or have already made perfect and mature, but I press. Touch your name and say, I press. I press on. And that's what we got to do. I know we got a past, but we got to press on. Touch your name and say, press on. You got to press on to take hold of that which Christ have taken hold of me. Said, brothers, I do not consider myself yet have to have taken hold of it. But one thing, somebody say one thing that I do, forgetting those things that are behind me, forgetting the past and reaching forward, which is ahead. Somebody say ahead. He said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. When we become bogged down in our past, we have to say this. I'm going to get up. Somebody say, I'm going to get up. Say it again. I'm going to get up. The devil doesn't have the victory because I'm going to get up. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to press on. I'm going to rise up out of the ashes of my past and move into what God have called me to be. Touch your neighbor and tell him, I refuse to allow my past to determine my future. I refuse to allow what happened to me on yesterday to dictate what happened to me on tomorrow. I refuse to allow my past to rob my joy and my blessings today. I refuse to allow past disappointment, past mistakes, past hurts, past situations determine where I'm going. Because I already have a destiny and a purpose. And I will press on. Touching them, I will press on. I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on. I'm going to press up the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Hallelujah. I can't go back now. Somebody say amen. I'm reaching. I'm reaching. I'm reaching. I'm reaching forth to that place where the Lord wants me to be. You see, you have to realize, amen, that what happened in the past is yesterday. Touch your name and say yesterday. Yesterday is gone. Today is a new day. Come on, somebody say amen. I said today is a new day. I'm not going to live in the past when God has too much in store for me today. Somebody say today. Listen what the Bible says in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and 11th verse. God says this. I know the plans that I have for you. And I know the plans that the devil have for you. Come on, somebody say amen. But God says I have plans that are what? They are good. Somebody say good plans. This is what God says about you. This is what he says about me. God said, I know the plans. Plans mean he wrote it down. Plans mean he didn't thought it all out. I know the devil have a strategy. I know he had a scheme. I know he's shooting all kind of doors. But God has a plan that's bigger and better than the devil. God said, I know a plan. Hallelujah. I drew up the playbook. Come on, somebody say amen. Anytime you have opposition, you always have two teams. But I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be on the winning team. We on the winning team. Yeah, we on the winning team. Let the opposition come. I know they may have thrown a pad. I know they may have gotten a touchdown. But that's all right. The game is not over. When that devil come, amen, when he come and try to egg, tell him that's all right. The game is not over with. You just wait. Because I got the victory. My God said the plan that he has for me is good. Say it's good. And not for disaster, he says. He says, listen now. He says to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29 and 11. So I am determined to walk with God in God's new plans. And not the devil's old. You see, you have to be courageous enough to overcome the obstacles of the past. You have to be courageous enough to say no to failure, to say no to defeat, to say no to the past, to say no to the devil, but to say yes to Jesus. You see, if we examine our lives of anybody who overcame the obstacles of their past, they were courageous enough to do something about their past and to trust and believe the Lord Jesus Christ for their future. We have to determine not another day, not another moment, not another second will I allow my past to overshadow my future. We must be courageous enough to stand and courageous enough to do something rather than nothing. It's easier to just let things happen rather than make things happen. It's easier to just go with the flow rather than to confront our past in order to lay hold of our future. I've come to encourage somebody today that if we don't take charge over our destiny, then the devil will. If we don't take authority over our today, then by default, the past will take charge of our future. And while I'm at it, I want to stop and praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord with me. For holding our future in the palm of his hands. He holds the future in the palm of his hand. And I'm glad that he does. For if you put your trust in Jesus, then he will redirect your way. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. The Bible says, watch it now, in Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse says this. Stay with me. Using a dull axe requires great strength. So we must sharpen the blade. Touch your name and say, sharpen the blade. It's time to sharpen the blade. Come on, say it again. It's time to sharpen the blade. In other words, we exert more energy and effort than we need to. Come on now. And if we ask the Lord Jesus for help, then he will help us to overcome our past. And if iron sharpens iron, then we must surround ourselves with other believers that we may sharpen what God has already placed in us. Goes on in verse B to say this, and this is the value of wisdom and faith. It helps you to succeed. And we, amen, must take our past and learn from it so that we don't make the same mistakes. But you have to be courageous to overcome your past when everybody knows you. Yet you have to have the courage to stand. You have to be courageous when people want to hold you in your past and when the Lord is moving you into the future. You have to be courageous when your past keeps declaring what you did. When God has already forgotten. And if God has forgiven you, who can hold it against you? And if God has forgiven you, what can keep you from your destiny? For I am convinced that nothing can hold us back. And no one can hold us down. For when God raises you up, no one can hold you down. And if God raises you up, nothing can hold you down. Psalm 75:7 says this. God is the judge. He putteth down one and he setteth up another. God is the judge and he sets up the righteous and pulls down the wicked. He exalts the pure in heart while he abases those who refuse to repent. So I'm glad today, my brothers and sisters, that the Lord does not hold my past against me. How about you? But you got to be courageous enough to stare your past right in the face and do like David did with Goliath when he said in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter and the 46th verse, this day, touch your name and say this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands. This day, the Lord will deliver me in victory over my past. And I will smite thee, devil. I will take off your head. You got to be courageous. He said, and I will give the bodies of the host of my enemies this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And that all the earth will know that there is a God. There's a God. There's a God. Listen, all too many people are measuring their future by what they see today. But you have to have the faith to reach into the spirit realm and to snatch out what God have already intended you to receive. Listen, you cannot measure your destiny by your present place. Come on, somebody say amen. Because where you are is not where you're going to be. The Bible says, it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him. We must not allow how we feel determine our destiny. My past is not my destiny. My past is not my identity. My past is not my victory. It will cost you something to conquer the past. Your past don't have to be your today's and your tomorrow's. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. There is no path that Jesus cannot heal.
There is no deed that he cannot forgive. There is nothing that you have done so bad that Jesus cannot forgive you. But you have to have faith to ask God for forgiveness. It is not whether or not we have a past, because we all do. If anyone will be honest, we all have a past. Some of us, it may have taken longer to turn. But thank God we turned.
Well, I pray that this episode has been a blessing to you. I want to hear from you. Please send any letters to Pastor Elijah Wells, P.O. Box 922228, that's 42 and an 8, Sylmar, California 91342. Again, that's Pastor Elijah Wells, P.O. Box 922228, Sylmar, California 91342. While you're at it, please include a love gift to help support this ongoing ministry to touch the lives of those seeking to know the Lord. You also can go to our website at valleybrien.org. That's valleybrien.org. Thank you for your support.